Welcome to Taz Turf Talk, your radio guide to thoroughbred racing this week in Tasmania.
And a very good morning, everyone. Colin McNiff and Greg Mansfield taking a look back at what's been happening this week. There's been plenty of news to come out of Tasmania. We raced, of course, at Devonport on the Tapeta surface yesterday, and that's going to be our venue for the next month or so, with works underway in Hobart and the Launceston track getting ready for a big night racing season. Greg Mansfield joins me now. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Colin. Yeah, it was a good day at Devonport yesterday, but of course the highlight of the day for us in Tasmania was the win of the Cleaner in Melbourne.
Wasn't it a superb effort on a day when horses weren't leading and winning at Moonee Valley, which is not the norm, but gee, he was taken on for, I suppose, between about the 800 and the 400 metre mark. He was really tested, and it was one of the bravest, one of his best wins, I think.
Oh, it has to be. Look, he's one of the toughest horses you'd ever see, and factoring into the equation is the fact that he went to Melbourne on Thursday night on the boat, and it was probably one of the roughest trips you'd ever encounter. We've had shocking weather in Melbourne, in Tassie, during the week. The trainer couldn't sleep, the owner got sick, and the horse never turned a hair. He's got an amazing constitution, the Cleaner.
Yep, well, he went to the front, Noel Kellow was riding. He was attacked by First Course, who I must say stuck on well to finish in third spot, one of the roughies, but they got out by, I suppose, 8 or 10 lengths mid-race in the 1,600-metre race. But just when he looked at a spent force coming around the home turn, and you couldn't put enough money on the horse Fast and Free that was looming up into second spot, he found and he found and he kept on finding his beauty.
Well, they weren't getting to him on the line, were they? Like, he had a length and a quarter or so to spare on that second horse going across the line. And the third horse battled on pretty well for a 33-1 pop. Could be one to follow.
No, and big cheers, wasn't there, in the betting ring there? I don't know that everybody backed the Cleaner. Is pretty short at around the $2.30, $2.40 mark, but everybody on track certainly was cheering him home yesterday.
They were, and as you said, I don't think too many people were actually on him, so there was no financial interest in it. It was just the fact that he's a great horse from Tassie and he's doing a fantastic job.
Plenty happening through the week, as I mentioned at the top of the program, and we've seen the retirement of a Hall of Fame jockey in Steve Maskeel, pulling the pin at age 51. I suppose no real surprise. We've been expecting it since about Launceston Cup Day, when he finished riding. He headed across to Singapore to say that he wanted to have some time out to think about what he'd be doing. I suppose nobody really surprised that Steve decided to retire.
No, it wasn't any surprise at all, and the term is used loosely sometimes, but I think it's very fair to say he's one of the all-time greats in Tasmania. He rode for 36 years, he won 8 premierships, he won the major cups a total of 6 times, 3 each the Hobart and Launceston Cups. That's a record, no one else has done that. He won our premier sprint race, the Newmarket, 8 times, no one else has done that either. He just edged out Max Baker a couple of years ago. And he won nearly all the other feature races multiple times as well. So even though Brendan McCool, his contemporary, has won more premierships during that era, no one has ridden more feature race winners than S. Maskeel.
Well, congratulations to him. And he's basing himself in Singapore now, riding a bit of track work and perhaps looking at taking out an assistant trainer's licence.
I think that's what his intention is. He's also managing a couple of horses over there for an owner. And he's conducting an ever-growing apprentice school. Apparently he started off with one or two young blokes in his apprentice group, and now he's got 8 or 10, so he's doing a good job with those. So he's keeping busy, and hopefully he has success for the rest of his racing career.
Yeah, well, good luck to Steve with whatever he does, and congratulations on a fine career. Another person who's announced their retirement from the game is a youngish trainer in Jason Clifford, trained for 11 years, had wonderful success early in his career in just his second year of training, when he landed the Hobart Cup with our Dashing Dane.
He did, and he had a little stint in Victoria at once, not that long ago, to try his luck over there. He had some good horses when he went over, but unfortunately I think most of them sort of experienced injury problems, so not a lot of luck while he was in Melbourne. He came home, again he had a team that was getting older with a few problems, and he's decided now to pursue another career path. I believe he wants to be a policeman, so we'll keep on the good side of him.
Well, speaking of policemen, Alpha, one of our top horses over the years, went on to become one of the top police horses in Victoria. Sadly, he died through the week.
He did. He was, actually, I think it might have been a couple of weeks ago. We only reported it during the week, but he's just shy of his 21st birthday. He would have turned 21 on Thursday. He won $885,000, Alpha, which is not a lot of money by today's standards, but considering he had an injury-interrupted career, it was a big effort. He won all 6 of his starts in Tasmania as a 2-year-old. He went to Melbourne to be trained by Bart Cummings. He won four in a row in the spring of 96, including the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas. I think we all in Tasmania consider that he was a moral beaten in the Derby that year when he deadheaded for second. Mm. And he came back as a four-year-old, and this is probably even more interesting. He had his first seven starts as a four-year-old. He didn't win. He ran 5 seconds, and every time he was beaten by a Group 1 winner, they included Might and Power and Falante, and one of his other seven starts was a fourth in the Epsom when he carried top weight and got beaten half a length. So he didn't win a race as a four-year-old, but he continued to do very well, and then he had a tendon injury which he couldn't shake off, and he was eventually retired. But yeah, he's one of the greats, and he's of course in our Hall of Fame.
And deservingly so. You mentioned Brendan McCool's premiership, premiership number 14 for the season just concluded.
Yeah, he's been the dominant rider as far as number of winners goes since 1997 when he won it for the first time. There haven't been too many others who have interrupted his run. Kelvin Sanderson's won it once since then. Craig Newitt's won it once. Stephen Maskew's won a couple since then. He won a lot before then. But basically, Brendan's won it nearly every year. And another big effort. He finished with 80 winners.
Yeah, Brendan having a little bit of a break at the moment. I think he's got 3 or 4 weeks off before he returns to the riding ranks, having a well-deserved holiday. The Bruntons continue to dominate the training ranks.
5 premierships in a row for Dave and Scott since they went into partnership. Another great season, and prior to that, a couple of years prior to their run started, Dave won a couple of premierships in his own right, training by himself. So he's now won 7 premierships. There are only 2 trainers since 1920 in Tasmania who've won more than 7 trainers' premierships, and they are Charlie Goggin, of course, who won 12, and the late Alan Stubbs, who won 8. So Dave right up there now in third place.
And somebody who's just starting out on their training career, Monica Ryan, the daughter of Billy Ryan, one of our well-established trainers. Monica had her first winner at Devonport yesterday.
Yeah, well done, Monica. It was only the second horse she's taken to the races. He's had about 4 starts for her now. Smarty Artie, and the first one, Crown Consul, didn't win. So it was a great day for her, and I think that horse might win a few more in the next few weeks as well, especially on the Devonport Synthetic.
Yeah, seems to run his best races on the Tapeter. As we mentioned, that's where we're heading in the next 4 meetings in a row, all at the Devonport track. So we should get some good form lines, Greg, over the next month or so, because the form does seem to hold up on that synthetic surface.
Oh, look, it's a bonus for punters. I think, as you said, 4 meetings in a row for the rest of August, and then 2 of the 4 meetings in September also at Devonport. So it should be in the punters' favour.
Quick wrap-up of what happened yesterday. We saw Concrete Johnny step out and win very comfortably. Finished up the $1.90 favourite with the late scratching of Osborne at the barrier in the first of the day. Good little horse, this fellow.
Very smart 3-year-old. He'll keep winning. Osborne, a little bit stiff there. He had one little trickle of blood in his nose, his trainer Bill Ryan was telling me, and it was just probably a little burst blood vessel somewhere. It was only a spot, but it was enough that the vet had to take him out. But, yeah, the winner's a smart horse.
Rumour on came from well back to take the second and break its maiden status.
Had been working well, one of the Goggin Meeburn team, and was scratched from Launceston last week. Doesn't like wet tracks. Runner-up in the Magic Millions in the summer. Obviously a filly with a bit of a future.
Third event, we saw Royal Bluff get home at nice odds. First leg of a training double for Glenn Stevenson.
Yeah, it'd been a bit costly over the time. 15 starts prior to that without winning. I think 2 or 3 minor placings. But yesterday was a day. She got a beautiful trail in that race behind her stablemate, Sapphire Storm, who led, nicely ridden by Erhan Kazmaz, and got the money in good style.
Kudafidis won its second race. This 5-year-old winning a maiden class one over the 1880.
Yeah, he's an enigma, Kudafidis. He dashed about 3 in front halfway up the straight and looked like he was going to win easily. And then all of a sudden he realised what he was doing, and he put the brakes on. He ended up getting home by only a neck, but rewarded for consistency. He's a very honest horse. He just doesn't find the line all that well. There were a couple that ran on all pretty good in that race, but it wasn't a strong field.
As we mentioned, Smarty Artie won for trainer Monica Ryan in race 5. Went around at probably good odds there at the $9. If you forgive the run on the rain affected going in Launceston, its Devonport form looked all right.
Prior to that, had been knocking on the door. Another winner for on a good day for Jake Bayliss, the Victorian apprentice. I did hear a bit of a whisper yesterday that he might not be coming over too many more times. They're concerned that he's outriding his claim too quickly over here, so that'll time will tell there. But he was in good form, and Smarty Artie won well.
Well, he was in good form because he made it a race-to-race double aboard Sid the Sloth, gave it a perfect ride in race 6.
Yeah, an interesting story, Sid the Sloth. He started his career with trainer Adam Trinder. Adam sacked him. He didn't think he was worth persevering with. The horse is owned in Melbourne. He told the owner that. the owner said, well, I'll get a second opinion, and he sent him to Mick Price. So of all people to send him to, I think he ran second at his first start over there in a very small field, but eventually he found his way back to Adam's team, and he's never gone better now. He's won a couple of races recently and might win a couple more.
And the Jake Bayliss show continued in race 7 aboard Big Time, who he was just a little too strong for Make Sense over the last 100 metres.
He was another Trinder horse, formerly trained by Chris Waller. He came down to Tassie in the summer to run in the Launceston Cup, but Adam Trinder was saying that he'd had quite a lot of racing before he came down here. In fact, he'd had about 10 runs over a bit of ground, and he'd basically worn himself out, lost his enthusiasm. He's now been freshened up, of course, or had a decent spell. He's been trialling well. Adam said he's very enthusiastic, and he thinks he's a horse that can figure in our cups over the summer, so we'll keep an eye on him in the next few weeks.
And Greg, I think we kept the best till last, the last two races, two very promising horses. Tennessee Drive made it two starts for two wins, a five-year-old by Mr. Innocent, trained by Troy Blacker, and Hayley McCarthy was aboard.
Yeah, he's a smart horse, unbeaten in two starts. I don't really know his history, but he's a five-year-old, so a very lightly race for a horse of that age. It was a good result for Troy because he was disappointed earlier in the day when another of his runners, Dream Roller, came out at the barrier with a little nick on his forehead. But this one made amends. He won by 4.5 lengths, and the runner-up in this race was a very good effort, Magnetic Queen, having its first start for the Trinder stable. Missed the start by a couple of lengths, settled last, got a little bit of a soft run through on the inside, never looked like catching the winner, but finished about 3 or 4 lengths in front of the third horse, and he's definitely one to follow.
Yeah, it does look a smart type, the winner's Tennessee Drive, of course, raced by Troy's parents in George and Marlene Blacker, and haven't they had some nice horses over the years. Classic Outlaw made it two starts, two wins this campaign. Took the last.
Perfect ride by Georgie Catania, took the sit, allowed the other one to roll to the front, the favourite Questmaster, and just proved a little bit too fit for that horse in the run home. Of course, Questmaster was resuming. Classic Outlaw went on to win by a length, and there was a couple flashed home in that. O'Reilly's GG and Gotta Have Faith, who always runs on well. So it was a good form race, that. I think we'll get some winners out of that one.
Yeah, it does look that way. What have you got so far as horses to follow?
Well, I marked a few. I thought Michael Trinder produced one for the first time earlier in the day called Russo's Destiny, who might even be destined for a jumping career. He ran very well when second to Sid the Sloth. I think Make Sense is ready to win another race on the Devonport track. He chased home big time. Magnetic Queen, as we just mentioned, and Gotta Have Faith. I know he's always running on well, but it was a big effort in the last.
All right, they are the horses to follow from the meeting at Devonport yesterday. No racing, of course, today with that meeting on the Saturday. Our next port of call, Thoroughbred Wise, is next Sunday, and that will also be on the Devonport synthetic track.